Well, Henry, Earl of Richmond, had been in exile since 1471, and for much of that time he was an enforced guest of the Duke of Brittany, and really was a pawn in diplomatic relations between Brittany, France, Burgundy and England. And while he almost certainly kept a close eye on politics and life around the court and throughout Europe, he was not able to develop the key skills that all late medieval English nobles needed, really like experience of managing estates, commanding the service of men, enforcing the law and representing crown government and leading county society. So even when his position as a royal claimant was boosted by the arrival of English and Welsh rebels and exiles after 1483, his experience as a leader was limited to those personal qualities he could demonstrate to this small group of a few hundred followers. The final stages of his conspiracy and the fully committed, perhaps almost suicidal march to confront Richard III and establish an English king in battle did show, to his immediate followers at least, that Henry possessed considerable personal courage, determination, and skills of motivation and organisation. Throughout the rest of England, however, the population might only have heard of Henry, Earl of Richmond, very negatively through the proclamations of Richard III during 1483-85, which had denounced his fitness and right to claim the throne. And most people probably had no idea who their new King Henry was, or what his capacity as a monarch might actually be. So a major part of Henry's plan was to show that he was a rightful king, that he did command the resources of the realm and the strands of government that controlled them, that he ruled justly and benevolently in the expected medieval manner. As soon as possible, he followed the procedures for coronation and the calling of a parliament, and his first royal progress into the north and the west of the country in the spring of 1486 was really designed to show the new king off to the realm, allow him to see them, and to gauge how many of his big cities would react to his accession. He'd also made good a promise to marry Elizabeth of York, Edward IV's heir, which he'd made at Christmas in 1483 when he was still in exile, and she quickly became pregnant, and the birth of Prince Arthur in September 1486 really did quite a lot to deepen the belief that Henry was a capable king and he would be around for a lot longer than perhaps Richard III and other people had presented. So the process of normal rule that Henry is attempting to navigate continued in the face of the political threats that Henry would face. The nature of his accession, pretending to be a claimant to the throne when he had really very little right, his attempt to bring rebels to his side and to challenge Richard III, took advantage of a fracture in political society during Richard's reign. And once he was king, Henry had to try and seal this fracture and deal with the consequences of being a king through a partisan party or a particular group who effectively were an opposition party. But he also had to balance what was expected of a king of medieval England. So normal rule meant what medieval kings had always done. But against this background, he had to deal with securing his own position on the throne. So he's balancing what's expected of him, but what he has to do personally to protect his new Tudor regime.